This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Buy or sell time. Good news. Within the last 24 hours, J.K. Dobbins, the Broncos opened up his practice window off of injured reserve. Not a guarantee he's going to play. They got to figure out what the rest of the week looks like. Buy or sell, J.K. Dobbins will suit up on Sunday.
I'm going to buy that.
Okay, this is the follow-up to that. So you're buying these suits up, buy or sell, that he actually plays. Like, he actually plays. Starts for this team.
I don't think he starts.
Oh, man, that is a game-changer. If J.K. can play. R.J. Harvey, I like him and stuff, man. He's a joker, all that, joker position, all that stuff.
He's the Joker.
But he's not the Joker. He's barely even the Joker on his own team that really thinks that it needs a Joker. But there's no question, man, that J.K. Dobbins is what stirs the drink. If they are going to have a run game, it was because of J.K. Dobbins. Buy or sell, the Broncos will have forced two or more turnovers this weekend against the Patriots.
I'm gonna buy that. I think they force two turnovers.
They force two turnovers.
Yes.
Okay. Buy or sell. Just tell me who you think needs to be the X factor in this game for the Broncos. One name. Offense, defense, special. One name.
Cortland Sutton.
That's the guy.
I need to see him involved. I need to see him involved, and I need to see him targeted, and I need to see...
Well, he got going in the second half. It took him a while, but finally got going. But you want to see kind of like a takeover.
I want to see eight catches, and I want to see two touchdowns. I want to see him be a factor early, and I want to see him be a factor often. Like, he does eight catches. It's got to be a lot more targets, too.
That's a really tough defense for New England. A really good secondary. Christian Gonzalez at DB. No interceptions for him, but he's kind of like Patrick Surtain. He's not Patrick Surtain, but...
Certainly is not.
Stop. He's just a really good... They have some playmakers, man. Excellent linebackers. Cortland Sutton. Wouldn't that be great? You know, Sutton and Garrett Bowles are kind of the OGs on the Broncos that have been through some really tough times. And for one of them, and Bowles is one that you don't see on a box score, but if you just watch the game, see what he does. But wouldn't that be cool if it was Cortland Sutton that just goes off and has one of those monster games with yet another quarterback? And that's a good point. What has Sutton been through? Most of his career. Many a quarterback, Mike. How many quarterbacks? Was he there when Trevor Siemian was there? No. He didn't have Trevor Siemian, right?
I don't think
so. That's way too far back. He was there with Peyton Manning. Okay, I'm going way too far back in
time. Drew Lock. Drew Lock was his first
He wasn't guy. There with Peyton Manning. I'm going way too far back. Drew Lock was his first quarterback?
Yeah. They were both rooks back then.
Okay, so he had Drew Lock, and he had Teddy Bridgewater, and... Russell Wilson, and yeah, he's been through it, man. He's been through it, and finally felt like he got his guy, which he did. Buy or sell, Bo Nix has left us no doubt anymore. He is a franchise quarterback. I asked you about tier one, but I think the obvious one is that he's He's going to be the quarterback for the foreseeable future for the Denver Broncos. For as long as Sean Payton's there. Who's been doubting Bo Nix as a franchise quarterback?
Yeah. Who's been doubting?
If he were up for a contract extension today, would you sign it?
Yes.
For a lot? Like what he's going to be worth? What quarterbacks are worth on that market?
I'd sign it now because I don't know like how much he's worth.
Well, they won't sign it now. But if he were up today, you would say, yeah, 5 years. Let's go.
Yes, I would say 5 years, especially since he's not going to be, you know, the price is going to be lower than what it should be once his, you know, once he goes through next year and has an amazing season. And Courtland Sutton has his best year on record.
Next year?
I'm going to call it now.
I called it this year. You can't piggyback off of what I call.
Well, I'm calling it correctly.
Aaron says blue and orange sunsets for three words. Are we counting and?
No.
So we're going to give him that? He's coming up with them.
Orange sunsets.
Blue orange sunsets. Blue orange sunset. Nice look at. Saves time. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I mean, as much as like you want to talk about the Patriots and their schedule and how they got here and how maybe it was an easy schedule, I mean, the Broncos have the same kind of thing. Very similar teams here. Both were honestly counted out throughout the season. The Broncos, though, had an elite defense all year. The Patriots had kind of a sneaky, good defense throughout the year. They're eighth in total yards allowed in the regular season, ninth in pass yards allowed, sixth in rush yards, and fourth in points per game. So they lock up in the red zone, it sounds like. The Patriots are a really complete team with a young quarterback. They have a lot of good weapons, kind of a two-headed monster with their running backs, and one of them being a rookie who almost ran for 1,000 yards in his rookie year. This is going to be a battle. And the way that they beat Houston over the weekend was a statement victory. And it was a statement victory for the Broncos, too. But the Bills were depleted. And I have some Bills news we're going to get to in a moment, too. It's just unfortunate that we're not going to see Bo Nix see this one through. Because, Mike, the sad part about it is, how often do these guys get there? I mean, aside from Patrick Mahomes, recently. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, like, look how great Peyton Manning was. And he got two Super Bowls out of this thing. So it's just a bummer. The whole thing around is just really unfortunate. But it's funny and interesting to me how Broncos country has had to shift their minds from Bo to now we're just going to rally around Jared Stidham. The team's doing that. You quickly have to go, Bo's out. And then what I did with my whole minute yesterday, Mike, was, and some people are arguing with me on this, I don't think at this stage in Bo Nix's career that this is as major of a drop-off as some would lead you to believe. You know, nationally, suddenly the rhetoric was, well, the Broncos have to do it without Bo Nix. Well, all season the rhetoric around the Broncos was, it's their defense. Their defense is amazing. Bo Nix, don't lose games. But when you do it on the national stage like Bo did against Buffalo, suddenly the conversation changes. And if he would have stayed healthy, it would have been, Bo has arrived as a top-tier quarterback, now poised to lead his team to the Super Bowl. But I'm telling you right now at this stage of his career, in 2 years of body of work, Bo is not, I'm saying it out loud right now, he's not irreplaceable. Does that offend you? Does that bother you? Today, he is not one of those guys. He's not, our entire world revolves around Bo Nix. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar. He's not Joe Burrow. Could he be? I think he took a very important step to get to that status. But today, as we sit here, he's not that guy right now.
I want you to be right, because I want to see Jarrett have a complete game and make it look like Bo is the one who's falling asleep. Like, you know, Bo's the reason why the Broncos don't have games like complete.
What?
Games.
Whoa! You're blowing my mind here. What if Jarrett Stidham is good, good, like good, good?
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I want this to be a very difficult decision for the Broncos.
If Jarrett Stidham and the Broncos, let's just say this: they beat the Patriots. Let's go 24-14. And it's Jarrett Stidham throws three touchdown passes.
300 yards.
Okay, I was going to say 275. 300 yards. Then 2 weeks later, similar numbers in the Super Bowl, you're lifting a trophy. What are you doing at quarterback? Is that a dumb thing? You got my brain spinning here. Is that a worthwhile debate?
I don't think so. I think you're still going with Bo.
Well, Sean,
but
probably,
you're trading
yeah.
away your backup quarterback.
Mm.
Ellinger is going to be your backup quarterback, and you're going to get a decent draft pick for
you. Probably who's get a significant pick, right?
2-2 or 0-2? I don't remember against in his career. He doesn't have a winning record. He's only played a handful of games, started a handful of games, hasn't been too successful. Look at the teams he started for. If he proves himself to be this good on this level,
at this stage,
starting the AFC Championship.
And against a good Patriots team, say what you want about their schedule. This is a good Patriots team. I don't know if they're great. I think it was a weird year in the AFC playoffs. I don't know that there was an overwhelming team coming into this thing. Did you thought it was the Broncos?
Yes.
There was no overwhelming, like, yeah, that's there was no Chiefs. There was no overwhelming clear-cut favorite. 17 minutes after the hour, we'll talk to Sean Keeler coming up next from the Denver Post, Keeling Me Softly on the whole show. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
It's time for Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler. And well done, Sean. Your story available at denverpost.com. We're talking a lot about a backup quarterback, so why not go out and get some of the bigger name backup quarterbacks in Broncos history? I loved this story by you.
Thank you, sir. Legends. Legend. Is that like a contradiction in terms, legendary backup quarterbacks?
In this case, it kind of fits.
Yeah, considering that, like, in every NFL town, the most popular guy, air quotes, is always the backup QB. Denver's not one of those towns because they've had good QBs more often than not, and guys who won a lot. But if you had to pick legends because they were backups to the same guy in basically the biggest sports figure in Denver history, they're pretty good ones, and they're good guys. So, yeah, good to talk to Bubby Brister and to Gary Kubiak earlier this week about Jarrett Stidham.
Sean, I'm going to have to buy you lunch or something. I would love an opportunity to talk to Bubby Brister. Yes, I would love.
Yes.
Dude, I loved Bubby. I love the guy, man, and I've never talked to him before. Look, I'm jealous, Sean.
I love a free lunch, so I think you've got a date. We'll
okay.
make that work.
Yeah, I'll let Michael run the show one day, and I'll come down, and I'll come to you. I'll go to Denver. I haven't been down there in a while. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if I'm allowed there. I don't know if I can make it there. I might get lost on the way. But, no, this was great. And, again, the whole thing kind of just takes me back. Now, Kubiak, I was a little young, but Bubby Brister for me was, I mean, I remember actually reading stories in the Denver Post when Elway went down, and it was like, oh man, how are they going to do this without John? Their Super Bowl hopes are gone, and Bubby kind of, you know, he helped keep this team above water.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different circumstance in that regular season is not.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah, a one-off, you know, with against the number two seed in your own conference. But their points to me, and it's funny, is talking to both of them separately, they both said the same thing. And they both literally said, just do your job. Just worry about you. And this was what Gary told me on the phone. This is what Bubby told me when I got him later in the week, and I don't think they conferred with each other on this. So with that, therefore, I call that a consensus.
Mm-hmm.
With two people smarter than me, who know the game better than I, say the same thing. And I think it's also there's a little bit of that of, in the case of Bubby, is don't get too much out ahead of your skis, to use a Colorado term a little bit, and that you've got a good enough team around you that you shouldn't have to. Now, this offense isn't the 98 Broncos offense. I think there needs to be some qualifiers in that context. The weapons just aren't the same. The line's good. Y'all stack that line up with as good as the offensive lines in Broncos history have been, and certainly go back to Gibbs and the other great coaches you've had here. I don't know that we're there, but it's good. It's certainly in that pantheon, in that top three. I think there are some parallels, but it's not a perfect one. But Bubby and Gary both like, hey, you could do it. You just gotta be within yourself, and everybody has to be on point as well, because the point also is that he's gonna need help. He's gonna need a lot more help than Bo did, because he can't do the improv stuff and the running stuff that Bo did. And that's what worries me about this game and about this matchup and about any game, not just the New England game with Stidy as a starter, is that I think Stidy can execute plan A and maybe plan B on a passing route or a passing play. There may not be a lot of big drop-off from Bo Nix, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what happens when it all goes to hell? You know, every fourth to fifth play goes to hell, because that's the point in this league, and that's where you separate the men from the boys in that position. And I don't know what Jared Stidham does when stuff breaks down and hits the fan. That's the only thing that worries me. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and you made a point too about how, hey, it's not, you know, when those guys took over for John, we're talking regular season compared to where we are now, but you're also, you know, you're taking over for the man, the legend, John Elway. So even though it's not the same kind of game pressure, it's the pressure of replacing John Elway. So it's just kind of fascinating to hear or to read their comments, too, of just kind of what was going through their brain throughout that process. Because that's, I mean, again, one bad game in that season could be like, oh, we're done. You know, we're done. And without Elway, you know, they're not going to be able to hold down the fort. You cost us our Super Bowl. There was a lot of crazy pressure on both of those guys.
Yeah, and Gary is a very parallel there, because he played, what did he play in, two or three games a year, maybe on average, maybe no more than two, and he didn't get a lot of work behind John. But that his last appearance, his last game as a pro, was that 1991/92 AFC Championship game in Buffalo, and that tends to get lost, because it was, you know, it doesn't bring up a lot of happy memories. That 91 Broncos team was nasty. That was a great defense with a lot of Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame type dudes. And John gets beat up, I think, in the third quarter, takes that thigh injury, and he couldn't even finish his news conference. Like, this is a big guy who's in a bad place after that game. And Gary comes in moderately cold and completes 11 of 12 passes in Buffalo, at the peak of the Marv Levy Bills era, mind you, the K-Gun, the Jim Kelly era, and gets him back from a 10-0 deficit, scores a touchdown, it's 10-7. They recover the onside kick, I think, with like a minute 50 left, whatever it is. Sewell fumbles, Buffalo gets the ball back, and there just isn't enough time, and Buffalo hangs on and wins 10-7 and then goes to the Super Bowl and gets crushed. Or is that the one with the kick? Anyway, yeah. That was a bad AFC. It was a bad era for the AFC in Super Bowls. My childhood, the late 80s and early 90s. But regardless, yeah, Coombs has really been there. And so if anybody in Broncos history, he might have the most commonality with what Jarrett Stidham is about to go through. And he said, and the good thing is, Jarrett, I think that's in the column, that's up at DenverPost.com. He said, if there's a difference, is that at least Jarrett gets a whole week, if not more, to work with the ones, 8 days, whatever the prep, because they turn the page pretty quick. And I'll give Sean Payton credit for that. A lot of coaches faced with, you know, that hour and a half is something I'll never forget, because I told my wife, who doesn't like sports, I said, it's sort of like, pick your president, let's just say Kennedy. It's like Kennedy wins, your headline gathering for news, Kennedy wins presidency, and we're all writing this. And an hour later, Kennedy shot. I'm like, everything changed. Everything in the narrative changed. Everything about the mood changed in that moment. But Sean took a breath, came out, and just laid it all on the table and said, we're turning the page. And some coaches might have let that thing linger for 72 hours and wait for the Schefter tweet try to play games about maybe we'll get Bo ready and then on Tuesday say, well, maybe he's not. Nope. It's Stiddy time. Here we go. So and maybe that was as much as probably for his team, more so, and it doesn't care about us and anything for the media. But it was probably the right thing to do, and we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, it was a different side to Sean Payton. Would you agree, Sean, when seeing that press conference?
Well, it was on it. I mean, I think Sean's pretty honest anyway, and when he gets unhinged, like he does, that's Sean too, because people who have worked for him will tell you that on game day, he's just not a good guy. He's just not fun. He is just dialed in the way that, air quote, geniuses, air quote, are kind of can get into. He gets his game face on, and he's a different guy. And sometimes when he yells at columnists and writers, I think he's still got his game face on and that he doesn't know how to kind of turn that off. I think he had turned it off. You know, we're talking, what, 70 minutes, 75 minutes after the game by that point. And then he's like, well, I've got a rational decision to make. And he did. Like, let's put it this way. Do you think Bill Belichick, even in his prime, would have said, Tom Brady's done and here we go, we're going to be fine with Matt Cassel in that moment?
Yeah.
I don't think he would have told people that. I don't know that he would have, even though it would have been, air quote, the right things to do. So, I mean, props for Sean there, because that's the reality. I mean, you instantly almost in this environment, and I give credit for Sean for having been here and knowing what to do here. He does, or at least what's worked for him here and what hasn't, but also what has. And in that moment, you said, we cannot mourn. We can mourn later. If they get beat this weekend or they get beat in the Super Bowl, we will have 5 to 8 months to mourn. We cannot mourn now. We must say, how can I win? And this is his mentality. It should be everyone's mentality in Dove Valley. How can I win a football game against a whatever, 14-3, 15-3, or their 16th, whatever they are, the Patriots record? How can I win against the second best team in my conference, even at home, with 8 as my QB? What is going through my head right now? And I can do it. How can I do it? And worry about Bo later.
Well,
and that's not to be callous to Bo, but that's the mentality you have to go on now. The train has to keep going. The show must go on.
Well, and there's a lot of people, you know, you're bringing up comparisons in Broncos country, you know, for Broncos historic backup quarterbacks. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are looking at the Nick Foles situation, and for honestly, for Jarrett Stidham, it's like, if you go out and you have a game and you lead the Broncos to the Super Bowl, and we're not even talking about the actual Super Bowl, and you somehow you look good, all that, you could get a contract out of this. I mean, you could be, you know, get a really good deal.
Yep.
And if you really go off and do it twice in a row, and you have an amazing two-game stretch and the offense actually flows all game, you might even have a conversation in the offseason about who the number one quarterback is. And I know it's crazy to say that, but that's what's in front of us right now, potentially. Maybe a small percentage chance of that, but that's what's in front of us.
And that's probably the best-case scenario, isn't it? You talk about good problems to have. Like, how amazing would that be? I don't know that that's likely. But to your point, and this is coming from someone who covered Scott Mitchell and liked Scott Mitchell. He's a good guy. I don't know that he was a great QB. You know, backups can have that moment. You know, you can be that guy. I cover Kurt Warner. I know people who grew up with Kurt Warner. You know, this happens in this league. Boy, it's just really rare that it happens on this stage and at this moment and in this matchup. But I think for all involved, I think the Broncos are, let's just be real, they're playing with house money. And you should probably, you know, they should play the disrespect card again. I think they played a little of that last week. I think you really got to play it now because, let's face it, even in the front range, I mean, last week most front range thought you could win, but no one outside it did. And now this week, I don't know what the percentage is in your office, but I'm sure there's some, you know, there's a little more doubt, and justifiably. And it's absolutely 100% almost are you expected to lose outside of the Bronco fan base. So I think it's a win. It's a win-win for anything you do positive this way. Like I would contend, and maybe we'll get to write this, then if Sean Payton can coach a Jared Stidham-led offense to a Super Bowl, even if he doesn't win it, doesn't that give you some Hall of Fame juice? Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't that make that case of, you know, I'm sure there's a part of Sean, you know, does have an ego too, that he's thinking, if I do this, who's done better? Shula? Earl Morrow played a lot with those Dolphins teams. I mean, you're hard pressed to find a better ratio of coaching a less experienced, maybe less talented, but certainly less experienced quarterback into the biggest game in America. That takes some doing all by itself, even if he does not win it, which would be a whole other level of bat caca. Crazy. For the reasons you talk about. But, you know, yeah, I mean, is that on the table? Yeah. Do you have to squint to kind of see it? Yeah, that too.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. I mean, that's what a guy like Nick Foles, I mean, I see him tweeting out about this, you know, using his fame from that moment when taking over for Carson Wentz and doing what they did, of course. That's with him forever now. He gets to be that guy. He gets to now be the professional on the topic of what a backup quarterback is being, when a backup quarterback is being thrust into a tough situation and then leading his team to the ultimate prize.
And it's proof that it can be done, and it's the most fresh one in everybody's minds. I do think it's unique.
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone has to keep that in mind. I think he was a little more ensconced. Wentz was hurt a lot. Bo has not been that here. So there are differences a little bit with that ego situation. I mean, let's be clear about that. I mean, it probably has more in common with the guys I mentioned in the column, and that is since there's been, I think, he's the seventh quarterback, Stidham is, to make his first start in any given season since 1950 in a playoff game.
Yeah, I saw that. That's wild.
The other guys since 2000 are all 0-3. None of them threw, I think, more than one TD in that game. I think the average line was like 220 passing yards, one touchdown, two picks. And their team scored 16 points. I'm going to keep that last number in mind. I think if you can hold New England, non-Tom Brady New England, was it 2018, 10 years ago? If you can hold New England under 20 points, you got a shot to win this game. I don't care if it's Brady Hall's at quarterback. You got a shot to win this game. But you are going to have to hold them probably at least under 21 points, if that makes sense. I think that goes without saying, and that puts the onus back on the defense, back on the run game, back on getting points when you got them in the red zone and being better at that than you have been, frankly. So, they won 2018. This defense, you could win that kind of game, but you're going to have to be, well, I guess, again, it goes back to the upside of why many in Broncos country can still see this happening is, geez, have you watched this team? The defense carried them all year long. Like, they'll find a way defensively because they have. And I can't argue with that. And fortunately, even if you're Sean and had drawn up the best thing in the world, you're still leading with Vance's side of the ball. They're going to have to carry you over the line, and especially in this game. But I keep that 20-21 points in mind. I think even those backups got them an average of 16, 17 points a game. I think you can score 16, 17 points with Jared Stidham. How much more than that? I don't know. So I think keeping it under that 21 mark goes without saying.
Well, and this is what's interesting to me. Like, if you're a fan of Bo Nix and you're also being realistic, if you think Bo Nix is really going to become that guy, replacing him in 3 years might be more colossal than it is right now. I mean, the last 2 years, he's been good. He hasn't, in my opinion at least, Sean, I don't know if I'd say great. Great in those situations where they're down and he has to work some miracles. But throughout a game, I mean, how many times this year have you covered this? Have we talked about it where the Boo Birds are coming out? The offense can't move. So the idea that, hey, this is Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think anybody's saying that, but that's also why I'm not jumping off the cliff necessarily. If you were going to pick the Broncos to lose anyway, well, it's probably safe to stay that course, but I don't know if you thought Denver could really win this thing, that this drop-off is as major as we've seen in the past with other backup quarterback situations.
It's pretty big. I mean, I'm with you, and we have to, again, keep in mind what we've talked about with this whole season is how the offense, and to some degree Bo, have felt like a letdown. But I think that clutch thing can't be discounted as well. I'm going to counter you on there in that how much of this, how good has this team been, and how good has Bo been running the two-minute offense?
He's been incredible.
How big were the, let me put it this, I hope I'm wrong on this. Because I'll go back to the things that Bo can do that City can't. One, the mobility, making something out of nothing. That's one. Not getting sacked. That's another. Get ready for that. You're going to notice that right away.
That's a good one.
Third and 17s are not a thing with Bo Nix, and Peyton loves that. They are a thing with Jared Stidham. And what do you do when you know, we're back to the Shadur life. Like, this is not someone who has great pocket to get rid of it recognition or that quick twitch to get rid of it the way that Bo does. It's survival instinct. So you have that. Three, two-minute drills. Like, how good is Bo? How big, again, go back to the Bills game. How big was that final minute of the second quarter and first minute of the third quarter for what became the ultimate? Did they win this game without that? No. And that's a drive. That's a turnover, at least a drive, with another drive right before that, and then not as good of a drive coming out of halftime. But you get basically, was it 13 free points, 10 free points out of that? I don't know that Stidham can't do that, but I know that Bo has been doing that, and that's back to the clutch thing, all year long. Like, I tell people, they ask me, oh, Bo Nix's stats aren't that good. And when you turn the Broncos on, you have him on red zone. You know, we're all casual four-screen watchers. You turn him on, and then we see the box score, and he's not killing it for my fantasy team. He's not that guy. But he is that guy at the end of halves and at the end of games and in close games. And you lose that, too. And I don't know objectively what the point fall-off from that is going to be, the scoreboard fall-off from that is going to be. But that's not insignificant either. You know what I mean? So I keep going back to those three things of – you know, your producer said, you know, Broncos going to win. I'm like, probably not. But I said the same thing last week because I was falling in love with the Josh Allen narrative. And Josh Allen turned it over four times in Denver. Drake May could turn it over three times, four times. And then it doesn't matter because all Stidham's got to do is hand off. And if all Stidham's got to do is hand off, you're always going to win that game, but I don't think this is one of those where it's going to be the case.
Speaking of handing the ball off, Sean, are we going to see J.K. Dobbins in this game?
I think we are, but
wow.
I'm not speaking.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't put your money on. It's kind of up to his camp as much as anything because he's the one putting future earnings at risk. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he's not under contract, right? After this year.
He wants to be there, but he also wants to get paid and wants to prove that he's healthy. And that's more important to him business-wise long-term than trying to get 20 to 30 snaps in on one, one good leg, in a do or die, huge AFC championship. I know he wants to. I'm sure they want to. Although, to be really cynical about this, what does Sean care about the run game anyway?
We're getting excited about a running back that might only get 12 carries, even fully healthy.
He was the best offensive player they had, and still didn't touch the ball as much as he should have because his coach is obsessed with running his routes, and so. Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a really good chance, but I wonder how critical that's going to be. Although it certainly would help, history says your defense, your run game travel well and will take you a long way regardless of who's behind center. But with this coach, I don't know.
Well, C-Sean, great job by you as always, my friend. And hopefully we're talking about, we're looking at the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. Hopefully something crazy happens, and that's what we're focused on in the next 2 weeks.
Let's talk about good problems.
I like
good
it.
Good problems are fun. Yeah.
All right.
I'll work on our free lunch. We'll get that squared away.
We'll get it going because I'll do it for Bubby Brister's number. That's my
all
price.
Right. All right.
And of course, the friendship, Sean. Yeah, the friendship part of it, too,
yes,
right?
Of course. Yeah. We wouldn't even told about that.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you. Thanks, Mike.
All right. So Sean's kind of pushing back on the whole, it's a pretty significant drop off. Well, here's what I always say. Quarterbacks that are always in kind of a come-from-behind situation, well, you could argue if you have a great quarterback, they're not always in those positions. And listen, man, this is not me knocking Bo Nix. I know we got a break, Mike. I think in 3 years, replacing Bo Nix is going to be a hell of a lot harder than it is right now. I think he's coming into his own. I think that Buffalo Bills game really was a big step for him. 45 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Slash.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
49 minutes after the hour, just want to tell you quickly here, Mike. Big City Roadhouse, that's the place to be on Super Sunday. $3 domestic pints, $4 micro pints all day, and a chance to win a 55-inch smart TV. Turn the TV on, and you're going to win. What do we learn? Coming up next.
Will the defense carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what?
What do we learn today? We learned there's a heck of an opportunity in store for a lot of the folks we're looking at. The UNC Bears, Brock Wisney was excellent today. They're not good in the Big Sky right now, but I do think they're too good to be 1-6. I think there's going to be a turnaround happening for the Bears. Jarrett Stidham. He has a contract waiting for him somehow. I mean, he has potentially a starting job waiting for him if he shines on one of two of the biggest stages in all of sports. Michael Kirkpatrick, what did you learn today, my friend?
I learned that you hate the Lakers a lot more than I thought you did.
I really do hate the Lakers.
You learned that it's okay to hate.
I love sports hate. I don't manifest it. I have to really feel it. I don't hate because I'm supposed to. I hate because people make me hate. That's what sports is, Mike. That's what it is.
Give in to your hate.
No, hate because someone makes you hate.
Give in.
The Lakers make me do that.
Let the hate flow through you.
Goodbye. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.